be familiar, overly familiar to some of you. They are very new, new every morning to me. And these two words would be community and celebration. We are living in a religious community. The best way to explain what that term means is not to go to Webster's Dictionary, as useful as that might be in the classroom, but it is, I think, to live here for a while and let the meaning of that term sort of soak in and be a part of us. And hence, I think the best definition for religious community comes from the living here rather than from some very neatly worded definition I might make from this position. What may be very hard for some people here, including myself, to realize is that learning to grow and to deepen our faith is a community event which seeks to celebrate far more than hold us. This living in community seeks to point us to our source of grace and power, our Heavenly Father. The question is, of course, why should this be so hard to believe? The difficulty comes when we take so familiar a teaching as this and try to apply it to our daily lives. How really difficult it seems for us many times, I think, to regard our relationship with our Lord as anything more than a one-to-one relationship. And it is in that relationship that the core of our faith resides. How carefully and jealously we protect our individual relationships with God. How much we feel it is me, myself, or I who has business with the Father, and that God makes himself known to me as an individual. So why is this a difficulty? I think the difficulty is there in part because some of the most important parts of our religious life are very individualistic. We have daily private devotions. We have daily private study of the Word. We have daily private conversations with God, which we carry on through the day in a very private way. And these are of great importance and value, obviously, for renewal. And thus, the idea can be established that it is in the one-to-one kind of relationship that the very core of our relationship to God exists. And I'd like to suggest that as important as that is, we can go beyond the one-to-one relationship and find resources in community, which I think are of the greatest importance for us. I think the problem develops because we often take upon ourselves the burden of keeping our lines in communication open to God. We take it upon ourselves rather than relying on community for communication and information or knowledge about God. We pray for guidance and inspiration by the Holy Spirit and then act as though his power in us has become our personal property. Let me give you just a couple of examples. We go through various times of crisis, of deep problems. It might be a suspension of faith. It might be periods of dryness. We might have any number of crises in our life. And we feel, obviously, that these are very real personal problems in our life, which we have to somehow get through ourselves. And through prayer, through devotion, through study, through trusting in God, we manage to make it through various crises. And then we take pride in the fact that it was, you know, just me and my God standing there, you know, through the battle as we proceeded through the crisis. We're with us. And because of that, we like to think of the fact that it's God and me walking together rather than God walking and working through community. Let me give probably even a more personal illustration of what I'm trying to say here. And as my children know, I'm a box freak, as I've been labeled. I like getting things in our house into boxes. I feel very comfortable with boxes because boxes somehow give me a sense of security. Because if I can, and you ought to see my study. I mean, the house is bad enough, but the study starts with boxes, you know, and goes through boxes, and there's boxes at the end. Now, why? I like to have boxes clearly labeled. I like to have master lists of what you find in boxes. And then I like to have one master list which tells me where all the other lists are, and these lead me onto the boxes. You think I'm kidding. Now, why? Because when I have something in a box, I have control over it. When I have something in a box, I have a sense of well-being. I have a sense of security. My knowledge and my wisdom are safely stowed away in a box, and I have a label to where I can go right away, and that's it. It could be truth, love, justice, whatever, and there it is. It's in a box, and it's safe when I bring it up, and it's available instantly, without my having to do the work, obviously, or allowing myself to be surprised by finding something, you know, where I least expected it. Applying this to a religious life, I think the problem here is that the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, which we're talking about in connection with the text where Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is more safe and more predictable when we put the Holy Spirit in a box. When we decide ourselves as individuals the boundaries beyond which the Holy Spirit can't go, we've decided how far we want the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, how far we want him to change our life. And we rely on ourselves to do this. We say, you know, Holy Spirit, take me this far, you know, but no further. We're somehow afraid to go beyond the boxes and the list to follow wherever this might lead us. And we become very resentful, at least I'm speaking from personal experience here, when I know that I have worked my way through a problem or a crisis, or I found the answer in my box, and somebody else tells me I'm wrong. I see Paul over there, who always tells me that I'm wrong. I don't like it, usually, because I don't think that Paul or somebody else living, you know, nearby or living 100 years ago or 400 years ago or even 1900 years ago really understands my situation. After all, we always say that faith is a very personal thing. Why should anybody be able to, you know, guide me in terms of what I think the solution to my problems in my particular religious life should be? Now, what I'm saying, obviously, is that when we follow so prideful a course of action as putting boundaries, as putting things in boxes, as not allowing surprise or mystery to take place, I have cut myself off from the boundless resources for renewal found in community. And it is pride that does just that. It convinces us we don't need the strength, the direction, the correction, and the love of a caring community. This enhances our personal sense of importance, but it leaves us as something less, I think, than mature believers. Let me give you one barnyard metaphor or story here from Luther, one which I can use with all ages of people, because Luther had some that probably should be, you know, used just with farmers. Who would understand? And Luther, after the break with Rome, when he began to see what was happening and the unfolding that took place, wondered why Erasmus hadn't come along. And finally he decided that Erasmus was much like a hungry cow. The hungry cow standing in the barnyard, and you open up a fresh pasture in the spring, and there's all that green grass and that newness and renewal that's available. But Erasmus stood in the barnyard and just looked, and didn't take the step available to him by coming into a new, larger community where there'd be more resources, but depended on the old, rather impoverished resources that were left to him by not marching alongside Luther and Melanchthon and the others. So, what I'm asking here is, what can God do for through community for us as members of the body of Christ? Let me suggest here a couple of ways of answering that question of what can God do for us through community as members of the body of Christ by a couple of illustrations. In our congregation in Northfield, we started the banner movement, as I'm sure most other congregations have, and once just before communion, I noticed the banner came out with the appropriate symbols for communion, and then were two words, and the two words were, "For me." And I didn't know why I didn't like it, but somehow it didn't seem quite right that the only two words on the banner should be, "For me." And since I didn't know why I didn't like it and I couldn't put it into words, I didn't say anything to the pastor. And apparently somebody else had the same reaction to this, because the next time we had communion, the next first Sunday of the month, the banner was there, the symbols were the same, but the words read, "For us." And I suddenly realized what had happened, and it became clear to me, you know, why I didn't like the expression, "For me." Or putting it in another term, which another situation which is more familiar, I think, to all of us, in the words of the prayer which we'll be praying after after this is over, we pray, for instance, "Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil." Thus, as fundamental parts of our lives as our physical sustenance and our protection from our evil are understood in this prayer of Jesus to be parts of our life and community. And religious communities, be they like Holden, our own congregations, cell group, Bible studies, or whatever, can also serve as means of correction and evaluation, something that many times we don't like to have. Here is where I think a real problem exists. We usually don't like to receive the kind of loving admonition and correction we have available when we come together in community. We are hung up on religious faith as being personal and tune out those who in love want to help us grow. But, and keeping in mind the story about Erasmus, how important it is to take that first step out of our self-centered lives and start to lean on the community. That step means we are saying, "I can't rely on myself. I need others, and I trust others when I expose myself. I trust them because they will not laugh or judge when I am vulnerable, but will join with me to join with me so that in all things God may be glorified. And only God, not me, not you, not the community, not Holden, but God." This step is a huge risk. When one starts to rely on community for care and support, he or she will often be disappointed. But that risk, I think, is part of the Christian life. Alone, we can know only a minute portion of the riches of grace that are ours as children of God. In community, we see the work of God in others and understand more fully what it means to be about our Father's business. Community means greater sacrifice, greater obedience, greater risks. And it also means knowing where the sources for discipleship, for giving and growth in the faith are found. Perhaps a few qualifications are in order at this point. Life in community does not mean, obviously, an end to private devotions or meditation or study. It does not mean we surrender our wills to some sort of majority rule or obedience. It does not mean we surrender our own convictions and insights to some other human power. Life in community can mean that we take seriously what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. In community, all members are of equal importance. As humans beings, we tend to make our own gradations of importance. But God tells us all members of the body are of equal importance. And thus, when we understand that, I think we have taken the first step necessary for opening up the resources of community for us. And just one brief thought on the other word that I mentioned earlier, and that's a word heard often here, the word, of course, celebration. Last week, Carol spoke directly to me in a Bible study when he pointed out that, to, among others, Norwegian Lutherans, the highest good in life, the chief aim in life, was endless lint-picking of one's spiritual navel. Unending inward searching, brooding contemplation, personal spiritual pulse-taking of one's spiritual condition. It is true that Scandinavians are supposed to be brooders. I suppose Hamlet was the first who couldn't make up his mind and seemed to like to brood a lot. Maybe there isn't much else to do on those long winter evenings in Denmark or in the upper Midwest except, you know, to brood. But whatever the reason, the outcome certainly is clear. We become so aware of our shortcomings. We become so fond of feeling sorry for ourselves. We take such pride in dwelling only on what we think are heavenly things as opposed to worldly things that we fail to see the mercies of God as new every morning in our lives. Let me just give one personal illustration for this. Some months ago, Eric and Laura and I were canoeing near Northfield. It was as gorgeous a day with spring in as full array as I think I've ever known. After my well-intended efforts at paddling had led us into sandbars, rocks, and several collisions with the shore, Eric and Laura politely took control of the oars. Now, with me sitting in the middle of the canoe, was absolutely nothing to do. That bothered me very much. Here I was floating down the canyon with nothing to do. That is, I could do nothing in helping get the three of us from Wilderness Point to the landing point behind Red Owl Grocery. And since I could do nothing, then something obviously was terribly wrong. I was guilty of wasting time, of actually enjoying myself. I should have been at home with my boxes contemplating heavenly things. rather than sitting out there in the sunshine with wild apple trees in blossom. I had no idea then of what it meant to celebrate, to share with my children an experience of knowing God and the glory of His creation. They, with others, have helped me put away navel observing and have helped me to understand what it means to rejoice and celebrate in this world God has given us. And it is my prayer that this life and community and this rejoicing can be a rich opportunity for all of us.
This is taken from Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Bless His holy name, all the earth. And I got to think that keeps in so closely with the idea of celebrating, and the idea that we can share our praises together as a community, and we can really give God the glory.
Let the sea roar and all it contains. Great is the Lord, and great is to be praised.